Family and friends, as we come to God's precious word tonight to peer into it, I wonder how many of us have spent much time reading and studying the Pentateuch. In your life with Christ, how much time have you spent studying the first five books of the Bible? The reason I ask is because we can learn a lot from what God's prophet Moses recorded in the first five books of God's holy word. For example, we can learn about the fall of man and God's great promise to Abraham in the book of Genesis. We learn about Israel's slavery and their bondage, Moses' salvation, Moses' call to ministry, along with all of his confrontations with Pharaoh in the book of Exodus. In Leviticus, God gives the law, and he gives it to him that he'll teach God's people how to be a holy people, a righteous people in a wicked world. And then in the book of Numbers, we learn about Israel's journey to Kadesh Barnea, which borders the promised land. And this is where God wants us tonight as we continue to look at Bible characters on these Sunday evening nights. Be finding in God's precious word tonight in the book of Numbers, the 13th chapter, Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to begin our study tonight with a reading of verse 17. But before we do, I want you to note that this is the chapter where God instructs Moses to send out the spies. And then the names of the spies, they're given to us in the first 16 verses of this chapter. And now if you'll rise as we honor the Lord with the reading of His Word, beginning in verse 17 of this chapter. And the Word of our Lord says unto us, And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they descended by the south and came to Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff, and they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. Father, as we come to your word tonight, Lord, we need to think about, in this day in which we're living, the difference between Calebs and cowards. Lord, tonight as we bring this message, would you speak to our hearts? And Father, would you help us to learn from these characters that we study on Sunday nights, that each one of us might grow in our faith, that each one of us might learn about those who honor God with their lives and about those who dishonored God with their lives simply by their choices. And Father, oftentimes in this Christian life, the choices that we have are not between what is good and bad. Father, the choices are oftentimes between what is good and what is best. And Lord, we need your wisdom to help us discern that. Lord, we pray for your grace and your mercy upon us tonight. May when we leave this place, may we know that we have been with Jesus. In your name we pray, and all of God's people said, Amen. I want us to understand that when God had allowed Moses to lead the Israelites to Kadesh Barnea, Moses had led them to a crossroads, if you will. Before them was the road of faith and opportunity, and behind them was the road of disobedience and unbelief. It was from here from which they would choose to move forward with God or fall back with man. It was here that they would make a choice for God's will to be done, or they'd choose for their own will to be done. And thus, for the Israelites, this is a defining moment. And each and every one of us can probably look back over the course of our lives and we can see where we face some defining moments in our lives. And so this is a defining moment. And for Israel, this defining moment became their Waterloo because of their stiff-necked unbelief. The whole of Numbers chapter 13 teaches us the cause of their sending the spies, the choice of the spies, the commission of the spies, and the spies' confirmation of the fact. But before we get to all that, let me ask you tonight, have you ever noticed that two people can see the same event, hear the same speaker, or watch the same program, or listen to the same music, and they'll each come away with a different account? Some people just see the glass half full. Some see it half empty. Some people always negative. Some people always positive. And the viewpoint that they take, it determines whether or not they hold a right interpretation of the facts or whether they have a wrong interpretation of them. And that's what takes place here. And so tonight we're going to look first of all at the sending of the spies. And we find that in verses 1 to 3, the verses we didn't read. But if you hold your Bible open, you'll notice there what God has said. Now, the question we have to ask, we have to ask some questions of this text. First of all, whose idea was it to send the spies in the first place? Was it God's idea? Was it His thought that they needed to spy out the land? What does the Bible teach? What is the truth answer? Family and friends, whenever you set out to study the Bible, you need to get a composite picture from the whole Word of God. Because many times, one facet's going to be given in one place, and another facet's going to be given in another place. For example, we need all four gospel records to have a total picture and understand the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ when He was here upon this earth. You see, if all we did was look at the account of this book here in Numbers, we'd get the impression that God sent in the spies, and nothing could be further from the truth. How do we know that? Because God had Moses write under the inspiration of His Holy Spirit in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 20 and 22. This is what Moses wrote. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look. The Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up into the cities into which we shall come. The truth answer is this. It was the people's ideas to send in the spies, not God's. And that's because all of the people, save two, Caleb and Joshua, were cowards. And that's what God wants to speak to us tonight about here is the difference between Calebs and cowards. What is it that caused the people to want to send the spies? You can spell it big and you can spell it tall. F-E-A-R. And a lot of what we refuse to do for the Lord can be traced back to nothing more than fear. Fear is the reason many people don't share their testimony in today's world. Fear is the reason many folks won't serve Christ in today's world. Fear is the reason people choose the road of disobedience and unbelief. Fear is the reason people choose their will over God's will. Fear is what causes people to choose their own will and then give God the credit for it and say it was God's will it was done. Fear is the reason for so much of the nonsense that goes on in God's church and in God's house. Fear causes a lot of unnecessary problems in your life and in mine. Fear causes a lot of unnecessary problems for God's people and God's churches all over the world. And God wants us to understand the sending of the spies was a living testimony. We talked about being a living testimony this morning. And the sending of the spies was a living testimony of a weakness in the people's ability to trust God fully and unconditionally. And because this was true, the people's eyes are not on God. The people's eyes in reality are on themselves. And the sinful result was their fear paralyzed them from seeing the opportunity right before them. And so with their eyes firmly planted on themselves and their comfort, they decided they wouldn't be able to take the land. Have you ever stopped long enough to consider what produced such fear? Why the forgetfulness of all that God had done for them? And again, that's why we study the scriptures. Back in Numbers 11, chapter 11, verse 34, we find a place called Kibroth Hattaavah. You know, one of the things that I really love about studying the Bible all these years, and one of the things I really like to study, is the meaning of the names that are given in Scripture. Do you know what Kibroth Hattaavah means? It means they hastily forgot God's working among them and the blessings they had already received. Family, friends, that's one reason we need to count our blessings and name them one by one. Because if we don't, we're going to forget all that God has done. How often could your life, how often in my life as I look back over it, or how often in a church's life, and could our lives be characterized by the term Kibroth Hattaavah? How often have we forgotten what God has done in our lives? How often have we forgotten what God has done in the church? How often do we just plain forget the blessings of God? Now, we all know it's so easy to rationalize, isn't it? Man, we can rationalize. It's just part of our weak, sinful human nature. That's all rationalization is. And it was so easy for them to rationalize and decide, you know, we need to send them some spies. As a matter of wisdom, let's dig a little deeper. Have you ever stopped to consider how these people could forget so easily the wonderful works of God that they had witnessed? Had they not experienced the blessings of His promise to bring them out of bondage? Of course they had. Then how is it possible for them to forget the one who brought them out by His power, that He will also bring them in by His power? Here they are on the brink of seeing all that they have hoped for from the day they left Egypt to now. They're standing on the brink of seeing God fulfill His promises. They've got all those miracles to look back upon. They've been a part of all of them. And instead of marching in complete trust to the words of their commander, they respond with a complete lack of faith. That's what their request for the spies reveals. They have their eyes completely off of God. And with their eyes firmly on themselves, they have forgotten. You know, I wonder sometimes, because I wasn't around. But many of you were. Many of you can remember the old chart. And then many of you can remember this church, how it was built and how God was here among us all and how God just kept pouring out his grace and his abundance. And when things looked bleak, there was God. Not too long before I come here, I know the church had a new roof and there was God again. And God has been constantly at work in this church. But how much have you forgotten from the time you moved from there to here? And all that it took to see this place come alive and to see this place built. How much have we forgotten in our own lives about what God has done and the miracles that he has performed? How could they forget when they have had a visible manifestation of God on a daily basis in the cloud of fire by night, in the pillar of cloud by day? There is God right before their eyes. Now you can write it down big and you can write it down bold. Whenever we begin to rationalize, we're demonstrating a lack of faith. And thus it would do us well to remember at this point three of God's character traits. He is omniscient. He is omnipresent. And he is omnipotent. Omnipresent means that God is everywhere at once. Omniscient means that God is all-knowing. And omnipotent means that God is all-powerful. So family and friends, this is one thing that I know. God had already spied out the land. God knew what that land was all about. He had made the promise. Long before God ever made the promise, he knew what was going to take place. God knew all about that land. God knew what was in that land. And God is a God of victory. And faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And therefore, God does not send us into places where we're going to meet with defeat. So that we can say in the Christian life, in our own personal Christian lives, our walks with God, and in any church's life, when we meet with defeat, we meet it because we're not listening to God, or we've decided we're going to charge on ahead of God, but that means you're still not listening, or it means that you've prayed and you know what God has told you to do, but then you think, well, we need to pray some more. You're just lagging behind, doing what you already know God wants you to do, or you just completely forget about God and you say, God, don't want to hear it, don't want to have it, I'm doing my own thing. That's when defeat comes. Now, God is a God of victory. Has God ever lost a battle? No, he hasn't. Do you really believe that God would have brought them out with all those miracles and brought them to this place, told them, go on in and conquer the land, and then have them be beaten up, defeated, and killed, and never accomplish it? Not at all. Not on your life. God knew that they could take it. And all it was going to take was one step of faith. How often have we missed God's blessings because we wouldn't take the step of faith? Now, family and friends, many of us know the story that because of their disobedience, they were going to have to wander around in the wilderness for 40 years. After 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, when they finally did enter the promised land, do you know what they found? The giants were still in the land. All the difficulties and problems that had existed 40 years before were still right there before them. And yet, the Bible tells us they took the land. What an important message for us in light of all that we experience in our walk of faith with God. How often have we missed the blessing because we refuse to go with God? You know, I think about this and a couple quick questions come to my mind. Are we really walking by faith? Have we really committed our way unto the Lord? And I think that that's a question not only that we can ask ourselves personally, I think it's a question that any church should be asking itself. The psalmist said, commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. But I don't pastor all churches. I pastor Green Valley Baptist Church. And I'm thankful I'm the pastor at Green Valley Baptist Church. God has given me a wonderful flock to shepherd. But I do think that in their life of all of us, because we're all united and will be for a lifetime, has Green Valley really come to that place where we're fully committed to trusting God completely? And the reason I ask that question is because these folks have come to that place. They're standing at the door, at the crossroads of opportunity. It's right before them. But, sadly, we read, they're not trusting God. Their eyes are on themselves. They're thinking about what changes might come. I don't know. You can think up your own questions. But it just amazes me that here they are and there it is before them. And they don't take advantage of it. Now, family and friends, we need to know something. God has two wills. Did you know that? God has His perfect will and the other is His permissive will. And then it's in His permissive will that He permits them to do this thing. Because of their lack of faith and trust in Him, He orders the spy mission that we read about here in the first three verses of Numbers. In order to, in response to their request. This is but one of several times when God permitted their request because of their lack of faith and trust. And the psalmist said of one such incident in Psalm 106:15, this is what he said. He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Well, leanness isn't fatness. Fatness means you're receiving the blessings. Leanness means you've received something else. This time it's going to be worse than that. And so God allows their request, but commands it should be done in a fair and an orderly way, and that a ruler from each tribe should go as a spy. And this brings us to the choice of the spies. You see there in verses 4 through 15, and the commission of the spies in verses 17 and 20. Now we're not going to take the time to read that, because for our purposes tonight, we're only interested in two of these people. One is Caleb and the other is Joshua. And these two are in the minority. And they're going to bring a minority report. Now remember, Moses has told them to go in and told them what they are to do when they go in. So let's look at the conduct of the spies in verses 21 to 27. Hamath is way up in the extreme north of the land. And so the spies then did a thorough job. In fact, they could have written a book entitled Inside the Promised Land because they knew a great deal about it. They'd been everywhere in 40 days. We are told the places that they went. We're told that they saw the children of Anak, which were giants. We're told it took two men to carry one cluster of grapes. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there and seen grapes that big? Whew! These are lush grapes. These are some kind of grapes. Took two people to carry it. We're told they brought back wonderful samples of the fruit to show what a wonderful land the promised land was. We're taught, their report confirmed, that what God had told them about the land was true. Did you catch that? What God had told them about the land was true. How then can we find 10 of these spies giving a misinterpretation of the facts? Now, everything that we read in these verses is true. There were giants in the land. The cities were walled and the cities were very great. The spies were right in their facts. But they misinterpreted the facts because of fear. That's where everything goes awry. And when you're afraid, you lack faith. Difficulties and problems, when you're afraid, they become magnified. It's all you can see is the difficulty or the problem. they become greater than they really are. Those difficulties and problems become giants in our minds because of fear. What an interesting contrast that we find here in this passage, because they say they were like giants and we were like grasshoppers. Do you know what they left out? They forgot to include God. And sadly, to our own detriment, we do the same thing. That's why they compared themselves as grasshoppers to giants, because that's simply just the way they saw themselves. Have you ever stopped to wonder why they saw themselves that way? Simply because they forgot God. Because they left God completely out of the picture. And if only they had put God in the picture, this might have been a different story that we were reading. Now the Bible says something about that, and we ought to pay attention to what the Bible says. The Bible says that every man, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. That's true, isn't it? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And what was the reason they thought themselves to be small? They lacked faith in God. The Bible has this to say, Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. 10 of these spies lacked faith. And because they lacked faith, friend, they couldn't do anything but misinterpret all the facts. Thank God for those who hold fast to the truth of God's promises. And they can give you and give us tonight a right interpretation of the facts. Now remember, I said Caleb and Joshua are in the minority. They're going to give a minority report. Now the majority's already spoken. They say, can't be done. Can't do it. Not going to happen. Can't do it. Caleb spoke up to give his report. And all of the other men save one, Joshua, refused to listen to him. Both Caleb and Joshua said, let's go in and take the land, for we are well able to do it. But the majority said, yeah, it's everything God said it was, but it can't be done. We can do it. Can't do it. How many times have you heard that in your life? How many times have you said that in your life? Can't do it. Can't do it only means you lack faith in God. Because my Bible tells me I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We need to have a can-do attitude. We need to stand on the promises of God. Can't do it means you lack faith. You can write it down big. You can write it down bold. When you lack faith in God, you'll respond to face challenges like a coward. So let's consider this tonight. What is the difference between Calebs and cowards? Two words, but God, but God. Family and friends, God makes all the difference. Bible tells me that one of God's majority, but God. God is the difference between Caleb and cowards. And that's because cowards see circumstances, they don't see God. Calebs see God, they don't even see the circumstances. Cowards look at perceived difficulties, they're not looking at God. Calebs see God, they don't even see the difficulties. Cowards see certain situations as impossible. Calebs see things and know things are possible, that all things are possible with God. Cowards, well, they fear. Calebs, they're fearless. Cowards speak with negativity. Calebs speak with positivity. Cowards always see the glass as half empty. Calebs always see it as half full. Cowards are discouragers. Calebs are encouragers. Cowards always want to turn back. Calebs always want to move ahead. Cowards, well, they just disobey God. But Calebs, they live to obey God. Cowards suffer loss, and Calebs are blessed with gain. Cowards face the Lord's wrath. Calebs receive the Lord's blessings. Cowards complain about God. Calebs, they just praise God. Cowards lose out on God's promises, but Caleb, they stand on those promises, and that makes all the difference. Cowards don't trust God's word, but Caleb, they stand on God's word. Cowards are faithless, and Calebs are faithful. Cowards look to themselves, lean on their own wisdom. Calebs look to God and seek His wisdom. Cowards turn others away from God, and Calebs turn others towards God. Cowards don't want to follow God's plan. Calebs embrace God's plan. Last but certainly not least, Numbers 14 and 12 will tell you that cowards are disinherited, but Calebs share in the inheritance of God. Now let's make application as we close this message tonight. Are you a Caleb or are you a coward? What is it that stops you from being all that God would have you to be? What is it that might be stopping this church from being all that God would have it to be in this present hour? Is it a lack of faith? Is that why we cling to those things so tightly? Is that why we cling so tightly to our past and refuse to surrender completely to the Lord? Why these questions? Because the church in today's world, friends, is just like Israel. I don't know how often you've thought of that. But every church, the church in today's world, is just like Israel. We're to be moving on with God because we're going home to our promised land. And the Bible tells us we're to take as many with us as we can when we go. And sadly, like Israel, the church has the same problem in today's world. Like Israel, we just cling to the things we can see instead of the unseen things and blessings that God has before us. Like Israel, far more often than we care to admit, we don't really trust God completely. And like Israel, the church is unwilling to surrender completely to the Lord. Like Israel, far too many Christians in the church only want to trust God, but they only trust Him just so far. Is that faith? Is it ignorance? The Bible states it plain. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God gave them a promised land just as God has given us the hope of heaven. We are to be the lighthouse in the world today. We are to be the salt of the earth. We're headed home to the promised land. They had reached the doorstep of God's promised land, and lack of faith caused them to miss it. And when they missed it, they went a-wandering. Stiff-necked unbelief in God's promises caused them to die in the wilderness instead of rejoicing in the promised land that God said, I will give it to you. Go in and take it. My Bible tells me that God doesn't change. That God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. And one day soon, sooner than we think, the church and each one of us are going to stand at the gate of our promised land, heaven. And God's going to do a thorough examination of each one of us and of the church. What do you think your outcome will be if God finds you lived and participated in church with stiff-necked unbelief? What's going to happen to the person who will only trust God just so far, but no farther? True faith in God, friends, means forsaking all. That's what faith stands for. All my thoughts, all my fears, all my worries, all my cares, forsaking all, I trust Him. That's faith. Simply because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Bible teaches Habakkuk 2 and 4, now the just shall live by faith. The Bible teaches Hebrews 10 and 38, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in them. And so family and friends, God presents us in Numbers chapter 13, with the difference between Calebs and cowards. Calebs live by faith and cowards don't. I'll ask, but God knows. Are you a Caleb or are you a coward? And if a coward, what needs to happen to make you into Caleb? Is this church a Caleb or a coward? I don't know. But if we're more fearful of man than we are of God, well, perhaps we're cowards. This Bible says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This Bible says there is nothing impossible for God. Family and friends, God's given us a charge. He wants His lighthouse to be Caleb's in this world. We're to go in and possess the land. We're to go into the dark places and bring out the souls that need to be saved. We're to ever be moving on with God. Now, many a church don't think about this. Many of us don't think about this. Sometimes we just want to sit. We want to be comfortable. But friends, here's the thing. If you're not moving forward with God and all you're trying to do is stay right where you're at, you're already moving backwards. God says we're to move forward. We got a promised land we're going to. Amen? Now, I don't know about you, but we better be on target with God. We better get all the souls we can, because there's a harvest of souls here in our community that need to be won to Christ. And I'm going to tell you this, there's a harvest of souls in this church that need to be won to Christ. We need to get back on track with God. And always I preach to myself first before I ever preach to you. Boy, this has been a tough message to preach. But I preach it to myself all week. We need to go with God. Father, we just thank you for your word to us tonight. Lord, I just pray tonight that you'd help each one of us to be moving forward with Christ. That you would help each one of us to remember the great promises that you have given us. And Lord, when you bring us the opportunities, Lord, may we seize the day. May we seize those opportunities that we can see our church grow. That we can see the possibilities and Lord, come to know the great love that you have for us, and you never send us those things that will lead us to defeat. Father, but you do bring us time and again to doors of opportunity. Lord, we have an opportunity to go forward with God, or we can choose to go backward. Lord, and when we choose to go backward, we're going to wander just like Israel did. Lord, we could preach all night on this text, but time has come to a close. Lord, I pray tonight that each one of us would take this message and that we'd think about it. We'd meditate upon it. Lord, that, well, Father, we'd just be like a cow chewing the cud. That we'd chew it over and over and over again. And Lord, just do what only you can do in each one of our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.